You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, over to Isaiah and chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. Thank you very much. So deal with us, give us the understanding that helps us to be able to stand firm and fast. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. The question, why does history outwork itself in the way it does? And we ask that question, and then keeping in mind that angels and humans had the right to choose. They all have the right to choose. They have to have the right to choose. Otherwise, you just have a tree that can't respond. You must be able to respond. That's important. Now, keeping that in mind, in the light of all of that, And humans, God has a wonderful plan for humans. He has one for angels, which is being outworked. He has a wonderful plan for humans. He created humans. He has a plan and purpose. He redeemed them for that plan and purpose so that they could enjoy being created by the Creator, God. That's the whole point. Now, but they have a choice to honor God if they would. If they choose, and they could, and they did, choose not to honor God, then they fail to find and understand and enjoy God's creative, redemptive purpose. They never know it. They had a choice to know it. God wanted them to know it. But they didn't know it. And the two words that help us understand and put everything in perspective for us, God in his wonderful grace, Isaiah chapter 45. And you recall, here's to Cyrus about God's wonderful working, and I'll read if I can in verse 5 to get a little context. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. That purpose they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, the whole world, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. I'm the only one. And by the way, God said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, God, you did that. Why? Now, what's the problem? Well, we all have choice. And we're to choose so that we make a deliberate, willful, volition choice to appreciate and to pursue eating your dinner, whatever you're going to do. You make a choice. You're going to eat or you're not eat. You're either going to do it with some gusto or you're not. You have to make a choice. And everyone could make the choice to honor God and look to God if they chose to. Now, keeping that in mind, so we have evil. Evil, God allows evil. He creates the possibility of evil. That is, to be without good and without God. And without God and without good, what is that? That's evil. You're missing God's creative purpose. You're missing the reason for your creation, your specialness of your creation in his image and likeness, and you don't know it. What's the second thing? And we shared it in verse 7. God created evil, and God creates darkness. And darkness What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. It's dark, dark human existence. Evil is without God and without good. Darkness is without God and without light. You don't have any. So God, you created darkness. I did, he said, just like I created evil. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and what did humans do? Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve recovered. Abel recovered. Cain did not recover. Noah's day, the days of Noah, the flood, they didn't recover. In Genesis 11, they willfully chose to be in evil, no God, no good. They chose to be in darkness, no God, no light. And they sought to start politics and religion, two things, two main items that govern everything in our non-human existence. And therefore, God, we're going to pursue Genesis 10, all the nations that exist today. Satan, the god of this world, is the prince, the power of the air. He's the god of the whole ball of wax, all the nations, all of them. And Israel chose to become part of that, which is where they are today. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so darkness, doing that without God and without light. Well, what is darkness? Darkness. What is the word darkness? What is it about darkness? We looked at evil a little bit, the absence of God, and it's our old nature to act totally contrary to God. Well, darkness is the absence of light. God is light. 1 John. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. No darkness. The Lord Jesus will say in John 8, I am the light of the world. So God is light. This him is no darkness whatsoever. Now, having said that, and the word, so in order to get the word, we're looking at the verb darkness, to be dark. And what is it? What is the word? The word means to be restrained, a restriction, a holding back, a keeping back, a stopping. That's the word. That's the basis of dark, to stop like that. Now, in the light of that, in the God, everything has to be like a choice. We have hot and cold. We have good and bad. We have light and darkness. God tells us, Leviticus and Ezekiel, teach the people the difference between that which is holy and that which is profane or common. Teach the people the difference to know clean and unclean. Teach them. They don't know. They've got to understand there's a difference. We've shared that in these days here. God is different. God is here. You can't be here. He can't be here anymore than he is, no matter what. But we have a problem because he's different. We're very earthbound. That's very critical. So therefore, being in the dark, so it means to keep back, to hold back. And in order to see that, at least that going from the verb to the noun, to be dark, darkened, dark. Over, if you would, to Isaiah 43. And in Isaiah 43, picking up, please, in verse 10, I think I said 43. I did say 43. It has a 3 in it. Subtract 3, 13. 13, I know it was. 13, 10. See how you figure that out? You just subtract 13, 10. I knew that when I looked, I said, that isn't it. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10, a verb going to the noun. I'm going to read verse 9. 13:9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now verse 10. For the stars of heaven and the constellations in the sky thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened, there's your word. The sun shall be darkened in his going down, going forth, and the moon shall not give her light to shine. And you'll read all over the place, Joel, etc., the day's going to end, darkness, 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 darkness. What happens in eternity? Where do people go that are lost? To eternal darkness. A person that's unsaved ends up in eternal darkness. That's awesome. Now, in the light of that, in the darkness, keeping that in mind, the verb, and et cetera, and so the noun, darkness, darkness. Now, keep in mind darkness, the sun. The sun is out there. Do you see the sun? You can't. The ceiling's in the way. You can't. Is the sun always on? Turned on? Is the sun ever off? But there's darkness. That's right. God created it. We'll look at it in a second. Now, what is it? What is it? The verb. To restrain. To hold back. To stop. To stop darkness. Darkness hates light. Darkness. Darkness. Darkness keeps God and light away. Here's a little flashlight again. Flashlight. And just to give you darkness, here's light. God is light. And what is darkness? Darkness is this. So you can't see. You can't see the light. But the light is on. The light is on. Darkness shuts off the light. It shuts it off. So you see it. But it's dark. Dark is the absence of light. It turns it off. So now, in order to catch it, so it turns off. What is the evil? Evil opposes God and his good. It chooses to go the opposite way. And darkness holds back God and light. We don't want to see light. So what do? We cover it. We cover it so you can't see it. Now, that's the word. You got dark. Now let's make it work. Over to Genesis. And in Genesis, if I can, in chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, picking up, it's all over the place, but just to get the flavor of it so you see it. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, verse 2, and Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And you remember, without turning there, think of when we did the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ just a week ago or so. And we did that. And here's the swaddling clothes. We're covering the body of our Lord Jesus. Wrappings. And that same word is used in Job 38. What does God do? God had it. What did God do when he was uncovering his canvas, his work? He wrapped the world in swaddling clothes. That's what it says, swaddling. What did he wrap it in? Darkness. He wrapped the baby in cloth. He wrapped the world in darkness, a blanket surrounding it. Because out of it was going to come God's great grace and glory. Now, so when we're reading, then, God, are you going to do it? I am. So therefore, we go in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God did all of these wonderful things. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament and in the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Now God made, verse 16, two great lights, the greater light and to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. Now God, you did all of these things. That's right. I made them. God, you hung the world like this. Here's the world in space. And God, what did you do? Well, I made a solar system. I made a system with other stars, planets, and here's our little solar system, our planetary system. And here's the world spinning around right now. We are in the orbit, here we are. It's not a circle, an orbit. And here we are over this end, sun's in the middle. Here we are over here, we're at winter. And so this world is up like this. And where's the light? Well, you can't, because it's turned away. It's turned away. It's holding back the light. The earth is shadowing, blocking the light. And all of that. And it has a circle. And the light. God made it day and night. So day and night. Here's the world spinning right now. World spinning over 1,000 miles an hour, spinning around. So what do? We spin around. Here's the sun. It's spinning. And over here, it gets light. And that spins, and the other side gets dark because it turns away from the light. Turns away, and around it goes, and it spins around. And God, as you know, remember, God in his miraculous creative work, here's our consolation. Is our consolation in our galaxy, spinning as it were, and all of that, spinning there and spinning out there. And here's the whole thing. And we got the galaxy, and God made, you remember seeing it, we showed it. Here's our little planet, Earth, and here's this flat thing, and here we are. Now God made it so that as we are located in the galaxy, here, so that when we look up, we can see right through. God made it so that there's not a whole lot of things between us. There's nothing between us. The little planet, here's all the thing, everything, but right here, standing in the middle, is our little Earth. So that when we look out the window at night, we can see into the heavens. If it were not so, you couldn't see into the heavens. You'd be blocked. But God has made it so that you can look where it's located. Wherever you are, you look out, and we can see two Hubble telescope and all of that. 2 trillion galaxies. 2 trillion, yeah. Wow. And all of that is spinning at 490,000 miles an hour. That. And then the galaxy is spinning at over 1 million miles an hour among the galaxies. Now, do you know, you think you drive fast? I have to tell you, you have to rethink fast. That's what we're doing. Wow. Now, all of that, God made that in the most wonderful way. Now, having said that, now, God, what about darkness? In you is no darkness at all. And we may not get there, but in case we don't, remember now, in the future, there'll be no more darkness. Darkness is only for now. The future, there is no more darkness. No more, all gone. Just for now. Therefore, Exodus chapter 10. Exodus in chapter 10. And as we're doing this, stumbling along here, you want to remember what? You're looking at a world and you're going to wonder what's going to happen if the Lord tarries, and we're here, so then we experience it. If the Lord doesn't tarry, of course, then we don't know. But if he allows, and he might, allow us to tarry, then you're going to see all kinds of things. And you're going to say, how could that ever happen? How could people be like that? Why wouldn't people understand? Evil and darkness. And that's where the world is. So when you're expecting good, not out of evil. When you're expecting light, not out of darkness. Not out of darkness. Nope. So you have to see it as it is and be glad. If some of you have to go to the stores and different things, obviously, and when you have to do things, isn't it good? I use the old illustration that I only want to remember, I guess. Here's the grocery line, and there's a big long line. And it's a big long line, and you have to wait. You have to wait your turn. And in the process, you wait for that to happen. And you have to go through the process of having it happen. And you do it one step at a time, and you wait your turn. Everything has to have a time and a turn. So here in Exodus chapter 10, God exercising and teaching Israel. And you'll remember in chapter 10, picking up in verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And sometime you might have been darkness that is very, 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 very dark. Heavy, heavy, heavy darkness. Heavy darkness. That's what God did. Verse 22. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Wow. Now, God, you did that. So, God, you put the Egyptians. How dark can dark be? What do you do with darkness? People are stuck. They can't see. They can't see. They can't see. What's it mean to be dark? Well, I don't want you to do it, but just think. Close your eyes or cover your eyes. Or go in a closet at home, keeping the door unlocked. And go in the closet at home and dark. When it's real dark, you can't see. You got it. Dark means you can't see. When you can't see, it's awful hard to govern where you're going, why you're going, where you're going, anything, because you can't see. Now, God, what do we do when we get spiritually dark? Because the devil, the god of this world, hath blinded the mind of them which, 2 Corinthians 4, that don't believe. All you got to do is don't believe and dark. But I can see. No, you can't. No, you can't. You're right in the middle of it right now. You can't see. We shared all this recently together. You can't see God. God's spiritual. All you can see is each other in a little bit. And the only reason you can see is because you have light. Think of being blind. No light. Think of the sunlight so that you can see. Think of electricity so you see. Candle light. Light. What's light for? If you don't have light, you can't see. Light makes you see. What are you doing with light? You know, physics, all that. What's light doing? It gives you the colors, the whole spectrum. And it's because I can see the different colors and everything that it's light. And without light, you can't see. I couldn't see the different colors. The reason you can, because it's light. And it gives you the differences in everything. Light. So when there is no light, there is no sight. There isn't any. So now, here's Israel. And Israel is in the light. And the Egyptians dark. Dark. They can't see. They can't see. And they don't want to see either. Over to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, picking up, Israel, remember, has been brought to the edge of the Red Sea. And in the process, the Egyptians are coming. And as they come, verse 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and his horsemen. Remember, they're going to try to cross the Red Sea like the Israelites did. Verse 19, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before their face, and stood behind them. And thus, here's the pillar of cloud, Shekinah glory. Verse 20, and it came to pass between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but to give light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. In other words, how did God stop the Egyptians? He put a wall of darkness. He stopped them. He put a wall and put a stop to the journey. Stopped it. Darkness. They couldn't go anywhere. It's dark. It's dark. We cannot see. That's right. Now, having said that, keeping that little bit in mind, if you would, in the light of darkness and the need to believe, over to Romans. And let's get this a little more in motion. Romans. And in chapter 1, we need to each time pick up something and connect it. We read a section, but we didn't connect the words in the section. Every now and then we go back to the section to take the word that we went right by and connect it to the pieces. Romans in chapter 1, you'll remember God describing the human heart without God, refusing to know the truth, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear inside of them, for God has showed it unto them. Therefore, no one can ever say, I never knew God, I didn't know God. You can't do that. I'll show them. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead deity, so that they are without excuse. Now, verse 21. Because. Why are they without excuse? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They knew, but they didn't want to know. Therefore, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. And it got dark. And it got dark. So what happened to God? God is light. But you chose darkness. When you choose darkness, you've rejected light. When you reject light, you can't see. If you reject light, you can't see. How can we know God? You reject Christ, who is light. You can't know God. How are you going to know God? We share that. That's why he was born, a little baby, so that he'd identify with us, so we can come to God through another human, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, what would we do? God's infinite, invisible. We wouldn't do anything. So therefore, God, the men's hearts were darkened. Now, having said that little bit, over to 2 Corinthians. Well, no, we did that for time's sake. Over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you would, to do that, darkness. I did that, and I am the light of the world, 8:12. God has choice. Now, if I can, over in the light of God, remember, positive gets us into the light. Negative keeps us from the light. If we fail to believe, we won't have any light, and we won't have any life. Now, so, God, here we are looking, and God, you allowed darkness, you did, and we did that a little bit with the Genesis flood and Leviticus, Genesis 11, and Judges 21. What happens in Judges? How do you describe Judges? Every man did that which is right in what? In his own eyes. What happened? What happened to light? Well, we don't have any light. So everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. Now, do that, take that, over to Isaiah. Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53, you're going to recall, has to do with Christ, his crucifixion. And in the process, Isaiah 53, may I go, please, to verse 6. All we like sheep have gone, remember what we just read, everyone does that which is right in his own eyes, Judges 21. Verse 8, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own, underline that in your mind, everyone doing right in his own eyes, his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All going the wrong way, sin, going us the wrong way, caught up in evil, caught up in darkness, we're in there. God allowed it to happen. Otherwise, there'd be no choice and no difference. So now, God, what are we going to do? Everyone's doing that which is right in their own eyes. Right in their own eyes. They feel very good about it. After all, they've written two books, and have done all kinds of things. And they got 10 degrees. And they're very intelligent. And after all, we're thinkers. We invent things. We can do things. The electronic world's a marvel upon marvels. And what it does and can do. Wow, God, we aren't so stupid. Now, God is right. God's word is right. God is right. God is good. God is light. Well, so it may be, whatever that means. But so are we. Now, God, the only reason we can pull that off, and you know, Isaiah chapter 5. And in Isaiah chapter 5, watch it again come into play, and you're thinking, chapter 5, God, of all the different woes, remember, he probably memorized it by now, verse 20. Woe, Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good. Now, we already did that how many times? And good evil. That's the only way we can handle evil. Without God and without good, that's how we live with it. We turn it upside down. And then put darkness for light and light for darkness. So the only way we're going to handle it is what we see in the dark and call in the dark is actually light. It's our right, our brilliance, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and we did it. That's light. What we can't see is dark. Can't see it. Can't be. But we see, we think, we feel. Aha. So therefore, we put darkness for light and light for darkness, to put light for bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Wow. I'm going to turn it all upside down. That's right. That's the only way to do it, is turn it all upside down. That's how you live with yourself. Well, I'm really, do it another way. I'm really not that bad. I really don't need to be saved. This business of church and stuff, I really don't need to be saved. I feel that way. You have a right to be, your rights, and I feel it. I live it, so that's how I live. How are you going to live? Work, home, school, and everything that's going to happen, does happen. Well, how do I live it? Well, because I'm right, I'm not wrong, in whatever measure I want to be, and I live with it. I call darkness light, light darkness. That's how I live with it. Example, chapter 29. Isaiah 29. Picking up, if I may, in verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men, how to fear, not a right fear, a wrong fear. Verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous thing, work, among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men, the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe, they aren't going to have the people that need to help. I have a thing from the Judicial Watch calendar. That's a very nice calendar, by help, but in the calendar, they have all the different presidents, the whole list of them, people, Jefferson and all of them. And every one of them has a quote about what? If the people do not understand, you're in great trouble. The average person needs to understand what's happened in our country, and they don't. And that's the end of the country. That's every one of them. If you don't have understanding among the people, you're no good. You can't make it. The people need to understand. You can't be stupid about it. You can't be stupid about it. You got to understand. And without it, and they all knew that. But why can we be so stupid? Because we love the darkness. We call darkness light, and light darkness. And here we are. Understanding, verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, "Who seeth me? Seeth us? And who knows us?" We live in the dark. That's why we can do it. That's why the world can say and do and act. And all of it, and you say, how come? They know it isn't right. But it isn't a point. In the dark, you can do whatever you want in the dark. And we've shared that 1,000. Think of the color chart. The color charts up there. And the color charts there. And blues, the blue, and the shade, and all the purple, and all the different things. But you know, you don't see the difference between the colors. If you're dark, in the dark, you're blind. You don't see any colors. There's no light to see. Gotta have light. Where do we get light? From God. Otherwise, we love darkness. And we don't have any light. And therefore, God, what we do in the dark, we do. Now, say that in a way that you know. Over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. And chapter 13. Do you remember, in Israel is about to go in, the Judah, the temple, and the city are going to be knocked down, and the Israelite keeps plowing along. They learn nothing from 100 years back or so, 136 years back, of the 10 tribes in the north, and they learn nothing from them, Assyrian captivity, and now the Babylonian captivity is on their doorstep. And in chapter 13, you're going to recall, as we did it, if I can, verse 15. 13:15. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble, even upon the dark mountains that you're trying to travel in, the dark mountains. And while you look for light, things are going to work out, and the government, China's going to work out, and Iran and Iraq with their nuclear stuff and all of the different maneuverings and all kinds of ways, moods, everything happening, especially we're experiencing it. Wow. All of that's going to happen. That's right. The dark gets darker. If you don't catch the dark and want to see and understand, it'll only get darker. And that's what it says. Watch. Before the dark, verse 16, be upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness, thick darkness. And that's David doing. We've been doing it since the whole pandemic thing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we've been looking how to do it. I say, what are you doing? I'm trying to help you understand how to do it. We shared it on Wednesday and all that. There's no sickness. Sickness is in God's will, not out of God's will, for believers. And believers need to live like that instead of caught up in the fear and the frustration and everything that's happening. It's terrible. But it captures and makes the public, all of the nations of the world, very weak, very susceptible to change. All the while, the things were waiting to happen, but they couldn't happen because the public was set in tradition and everything they do. But now it's all shaken up. Now you can pull off what you couldn't have pulled off 2 years ago. Wow. Hang on. Now, so here we are looking, God, dark and dark and dark and dark. Dark gets darker. How dark can it get? Over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, what do you know? In the days of Jeremiah, in the temple, we just read, it's going to get dark and darker. Well, I want to ask myself, how dark was it going to get? Now, God, you're going to tell us. That's right, because Ezekiel, same time as Jeremiah, Ezekiel's going to come along and say, God's going to use him. Tell him what's the problem inside that temple. What are the priests? What are you guys all doing in there? Ezekiel chapter 8. I'm picking up, if I can, in verse 8. And then said he unto me, Ezekiel, son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, I found a door. In other words, it's all been buried, so you don't see anything. And Jeremiah, you dig down and find the door that they've covered up, as it were. Verse 9, he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, behold, every man, every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of ancient, the old men of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jehaz, Aniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up, worshiping. And then said he, me unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark. Now, how could you have all of your idolatry printed all over your walls and everything, just like people do, and put bad stuff, not good stuff, everything that goes with idolatry, and they got it all over the wall. How can you guys live with that? Because of the dark. The dark is getting darker. How dark can it get? The church will the ecumenical movement, once the Lord takes us up, that whole movement, church, Baptist, Protestant, congregational, everything else, moved. Where? Not up to heaven. No. The other way. Against God. The ecumenical movement lined up with the Antichrist ultimately. You say, it couldn't happen. Oh, yes, sir. You wouldn't say no and never. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. How dark can it get? Oh, very, 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 very dark. Very dark. I say, no, that never happened. Yes, it can. How could all the stuff in the Roman Catholic thing and all the rest of it, with all the different problems that have happened with the sexual things and everything, how could that never happen? Well, it can get dark, very dark. Now, therefore, and I don't want it to get too dark so that we can finish. Now, over if you would please, to Matthew chapter 6. I want, if I've emphasized it at least for a little bit, understand darkness. Darkness is not good. It's not good. God made it, God allowed it, but people are dark, spiritually in the dark, mentally, morally in the dark. Their minds are blinded. They don't want to understand. And therefore, you're into Matthew? Did I say that? Oh, okay. Matthew chapter, well, Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, you're going to recall, as you would know, in Matthew 6, and looking at the eye, you have eyes, I have eyes, and the pupil is where you see. The little black, the God protects pupil. Pupil's very critical, that little black spot in there. Very critical. Why? That's where you see. Without that, you're blind. You're blind. You can't see. Ah. Chapter 6, God help us. If I can, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be simple, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, if the glass is clear, everything can get right through it. You can see right through the window because it's clear. You can see. As long as it's clear. So all the light gets in through that little thing, a black thing, pupil, and goes into all the stuff and does marvelous things. Now, verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Evil and darkness. The two items. One, two. Evil, darkness. Evil, God and good. Darkness, God and light. And you don't know. How can you enjoy being a person if you live in the dark and you follow evil? Therefore, how great, in verse 23 again, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, then how great is that what? How dark is dark? Dark is very, very dark. That's what God said to the mum. You guys in Jeremiah, if you don't fix it, you're traveling along. If you fix it, you don't want to fix it, it's going to get darker. To the point where you're inside the temple doing things that you would never dream of. Never dream of doing it. So the world, how could the world possibly be headed where it is? Because it's the darkness and there is no light. So don't, you should understand that. You should be amazed that any of us find a way around. You should be happy. Things aren't quite so bad. Wow. Now, in the light of that, and in the light of that, without losing it, if I can, and in chapter 13. Now, God, what did you say about Israel because of their unbelief in Isaiah chapter 6? And you know, God, that's where Isaiah takes his commission, is stated. God said, who will I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And then God told them, 9, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, God told them that you're going to go. And Isaiah said, where am I going to go? Where do you want me to go? I want you to go to Israel. I want you to go and tell them about good and evil. Tell them about dark and light. And what are they going to do? They're going to choose evil. They're on the course of evil, Babylonian captivity, all the way to where they are now, to the Antichrist. Evil, dark. You say they never. That's a stupid thing to do. That's a wrong. But we don't see it as wrong because we don't want to see it as wrong. And since I don't need to be governed, you can't tell me what it is. Because in the dark, I have the right to say blue is green and green is white. And you can't say a thing because I'm in the dark, and that's your belief versus what? My belief. That's why we don't present to people in the evangelism, this is what I believe. Because they have a right to believe what they're believing. We tell them, this is what God has said. Either you believe it or you don't. But what you believe is your personal thing. You can believe whatever you want. You can think you're a tomato if you want. People now don't even know what they are. Male, female, goat, tomato, who knows what they are? Wow. Now, so therefore, chapter 13, Isaiah, is this mood and movement characteristic all the way into the church? Israel, absolutely. Chapter 13, picking up in verse 14. Time's gone. Therefore speak I to them, verse 14, and to them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah's, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and by seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Because they don't want to, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Well, how do you get help? We don't want help. You've got to walk in the light. God, we're going to trust God. But we can't grow. We can't honor God in the way, when as much as we should and could, and able to do so, to honor God. But we don't. We're caught up in the system. And the system's going to destroy. Give us another 6 months or so of this and see where we are. See how much you can recover, assuming there is a recovery. That'll be interesting. How much is recovering? That's an interesting to wait and see. Oh, boy. Well, now, so God, here we are, and in the process. In the process, God. Closing, got to close. Remember now, that's the same thing that we read, chapter 13, verse 14, 15, is the same thing in Acts 28, into the church. It's the same mood, the same mood. People see, but they don't see. Understand, but they don't understand. Hear, but they don't want to hear. That's the church. That's where it is. Over, if I can, in closing, I guess. over that would help us. Yeah, 1 John. Appreciate your patience. We didn't get very far. And assuming the weather holds up reasonably, we'll try to catch at least the end of this for the next part somehow. I don't know why you take so long to have, because I never have enough time to get to anywhere. So I blame you guys. That's what I do. 1 John. But if you don't understand, you realize if you don't understand, what on earth good is any of this? Would you please tell me? Beware of darkness. And to each one of you, darkness means what? To what measure, practically, in your daily life? Zoop! You got to turn on the light because you got to go to the bathroom. That's, wow. 1 John. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, God, here we are, the most awesome truth. For 1,000 years, God help us, we've said it. But if we walk, David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, not in the dark, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, that's why we have light, Christ in you, the light of the world, the light of your life. We walk in the light, as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And all the dumb things that are happening in your head, in your heart, in your life, in the world around you, all of them are happening all over the place. It's what they are. And the blood of Jesus Christ keeps the relationship in the light so that you're walking in the light that you see. You don't have to see 1,000 miles ahead. You just see enough to move forward, and you're walking in the light as he is in the light. God has a clear path. We walk. Why did you, David, say it? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why are we going to go in this crooked world with all of its stuff going on and get caught up in all the, gotta be, watch this and watch. We overwatch it. And that's why it's harder. The stress you'd put on your mind and heart is worse than the dumb sickness. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ said, I'll take care of all the rest of it. All of it exists. That's not make-believe. It's for real. That's why we remember biblical objectivity. Biblical objectivity. We need to see. Object to see, to understand. We don't want to be blind. I want to see what sin is. I want to understand what self is. I want to understand what the Savior is. I want to understand what sorrow is. I want to see it for what it is. Sickness, what it is. And the wonderful God who took care of it as I journeyed down the corridor of time. I walk in the light. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ takes care of all the rest. So God, one step at a time, one inch at a time. However, that's how we walk. God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us. Thank you very much for loving us, for caring, for helping us understand more and more. God, we need to. You got to help us. You got to help us, God. You just got to help us. So thank you very much for caring, Spirit of God, for your grace and long-suffering. Father, God, we just want to rest in front of you, before you. God, we look for you to move us to, as it were, to hug us. And God, we aren't going to fight it. To love us, and we aren't going to fight your love. God, thank you very, very much. Give safety, encouragement in every way for the many that are sick and all the different things. God, as we seek to interact with each other, to help each other, to do the caring, all of it, God, is little and limited. But we do it, and we ought to do it, with the understanding, God, that you make up the difference. And our God, we thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.